You know, the enemy wants nothing more than to destroy families. If he can mess up your family life, he can just mess you up and get you off track and do you harm. And so this is an area that all of us need to learn and grow and have families that just glorify God, amen, that are blessed. And I know that Brother Nichols, you know, you look at his life and you see that blessing on his life and on his family. And I just believe he's got something good to impart to us today. So are you ready to receive? We're going to receive an offering at the end of the service this morning for Brother Nichols. So don't run out the door now. We want to be sure we receive that offering. But no, anyway, I know that you're going to be blessed, and every one of you, you know. And you might be sitting there saying, "Well, I live by myself. I don't have a family that lives with me." Well, I'm telling you, you're going to hear things this morning that you still need. Amen. It'll help you in your relationships with others. But you know, you don't know what God has down the road for you, that you'll be applying these very principles in your life. So I just want to encourage you about that. Tune in. I know everybody that you honored the Lord to come into worship today, you're going to receive something from the Lord if you just be open and receive. Amen. Brother Nichols, you come on.
Well, Lou's going to talk first.
We are a pair, so if you want one of us, you have to take the other one. I want to just say a word or two about honor. Last Sunday when Pastor was talking, preaching to us, and he said everything you can say about the family. I'll tell you, we got home, Brother Nichols said, he didn't leave anything for us to say, but we're going to say it a different way this morning. That's what he said we could do. So anyway, I want to talk to you about honor, teaching children to honor their parents. It's so important that we honor our parents. I saw this demonstrated to me a long time ago. One of my grandchildren was sick, and I went by to see about her that day, and she was, Janet's daughter, Shelley, she was sitting there by the window looking outside at her kitty cat playing, and she run up against the door, and Shelley wandered in the house so bad. But see, her daddy had made a statement, when you got the kitty cat, you can't bring it in the house. Okay, that'll be okay. Well, I think I knew that, but anyway, I got over there, and she was sitting there like that, and so I just go outside and pick up that kitty cat, bring it in, put it in her lap. And she just grinned up at me, and she was loving the kitty cat. Her mother came in about that time, and she said, "Shelley, you know the rule. You can't have the cat in the house." "I didn't do it. Grandmother did." Well, she said, "I think grandmother knew the rule too." But anyway, so she takes the kitty cat and puts it back outside. That made me so mad. I just thought, now her daddy's not going to know that she had this kitty cat in her lap for a few minutes. But I didn't say anything. And so later on, I got to Jan by herself, and I said, "Jan, this is ridiculous." She said, "Mother, I'm teaching her to honor her daddy. He made the rule. She knows the rule. She agreed to the rule. And we're not breaking the rule just because he's not here." And I've watched her grow, and she still honors her daddy today, and she's a mother with two children of her own. So teach your children to honor your parents. It pays big dividends. Shelly still honors her daddy. I see it so many, many times in her life. And she teaches her children to honor their daddy and to honor their grandparents. And when they're over there, they still honor him. So, and then since I have the microphone, I'm going to say this to you. I want, as a church, I want us to teach our children to honor our pastor. You know, he's just not Mark anymore. To those of you that have known him for a long, long time, he was youth pastor 10 years. Stole my daughter and went off and saw that. But anyway, we gave our consent. It's fine. Anyway, I want you to realize how important it is that your children honor their pastor. I honor him. I challenge you, if you haven't been, that you honor him in so many ways. You know, he happens to be a son-in-law, and I love him because he's my son-in-law. But above that and beyond that, he's my pastor, and I honor him, and I look to him. I listen to what he has to say, and I challenge you to honor him like you never have before. Just little things you can do to honor him. Adults need to do it. Set the example so your children will do it. What a lazy lady joined our church many, many years ago with a teenage son. We'd known this family forever. And she said, she'd always said, Harold. And one morning she said, the Lord said to her, if you want your teenage boy to say, Brother Nichols, you better start doing it. And she thought, can I do that? And she said, From then on, I never said a Harold another time. And my son picked it right up, and he always said, Brother Nichols. So set the example before your children to honor their parents and to honor your pastor and his wife. He's a great pastor, but he couldn't do nearly as good as he's doing if he didn't have this woman standing by the side of him. Amen. I love the Lord. Thank you for having us today. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody happy?
Amen.
I'm looking for somebody. Dennis here? Dennis? Okay. Well, godly parents make a positive impact on the family, on the church, on society, on the nation, and on generations to come. Ungodly parents, they make a negative effect on all of these. I found this little thing I'd like to read to you. It's about two men that lived in the 18th century. Tell about them. Mac Jukes, he lived a godless life. He married an ungodly girl, and from the union of there were 310 that died as paupers, 150 criminals, 7 were murderers, 100 were drunkards, and more than half of the women were prostitutes. Of 540 descendants, it cost the state $250,000. That's way back in 1800. But praise the Lord, it works both ways. This is what I want you to get. There's a record of a great American man, Jonathan Edwards. He lived at the same time as Mac Jukes, but he married a godly girl. Everybody say godly girl. And an investigation was made of 1,394 known descendants of Jonathan Edwards. Of this, 13 became college presidents, 65 college professors, 3 United States senators, 30 judges, 100 lawyers, 60 physicians, 75 Army and Navy men, 100 preachers and missionaries, 60 authors of prominence, and 1 vice president of the United States. Made a difference, didn't it?
Amen.
Made a difference. So I want to give you a kind of something. I know about my family, okay? I'm going to talk about my family, okay? I'm proud of it. Praise God. Lou and I have extended our family now to 28. In 100 years from now, it'll be 1,000 maybe, but right now it's 28. 1 is a senior pastor, 2 youth pastors, 1 worship leader, 2 Bible college students, 4 school teachers, 10 college graduates, 2 went 2 years in college, a musician, a Christian band that caters to the youth. All 28 have church homes. They had 1 head usher, 1 CPA, 4 kids that's under 8, and they're all being in church and being taught the Word of God. 1 owns his own business. The future generations will be under the blessings of anybody that lives a godly life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
The righteousness of parents will be visited down to the 4th generation. 4 times it says in the Bible, the wicked fathers and parents, they'll visit down to the 4th generation. So it pays to serve. You don't live by yourself.
No,
we affect other people. No matter what your calling in God is, you affect somebody else, whatever you do, whatever you're doing. Why did God bless Abraham? God said, I know that Abraham will teach and guide his household after him. Very important. To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has promised. Lou and I have made a lot of mistakes, had a lot of problems, a lot of things, but thank God, the grace of God was sufficient. Brought us through it. Thank you, Lord. Parents, don't just teach your children how to make a living. Teach them how to live. If you teach them how to live right, they can make a living. Teach them by experience to be faithful to the church. Not just by words, but by action. Teach them to tithe. Teach them to worship. Teach them to praise. Teach them to pray. Let them see you give your tithe. Show them the tithe check. I'm talking about from when they're little, right on up. Right on up. Teach them to give. Teach them to praise the Lord. Amen. Teach them to raise a hand in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Amen. Teach them the godly way of living. Never talk negative things about the church. That's really important. That's the one thing we decided we was going to do. We wasn't going to talk negative things about the church. What's going on here and what's going on there and all that. All we talked about at home was the good things. Everybody that goes to church aren't living right sometimes. We have a lot of problems out there. We know about. I didn't want my kids to know anything about. Thank God for church that has people to come that need God. Amen. Amen. It's not just a place where saints get together and pray a little bit. It's for that, but also, I tell you, it's for getting people outside into the church where they can get a hold of God and get the blessings of God upon their lives. Our children thought everybody in the church was a saint. But they never had been that way. God honored and blessed Isaac because of his parents. What a blessing. What an inheritance we can be to leave children and our grandchildren a spiritual inheritance. That'll last forever. It's all right if you can leave them a little money. That's good, but it won't last them very long. But this, teach them right. That'll last forever. Amen. Abraham taught his son how to worship, how to build an ark, how to offer a sacrifice, how to prosper. Start teaching them about that while they're small. Amen. Speak words to your children that'll build self-confidence in them. Let them know you have faith in them and that God has a plan for their life. Talk good about them. Encourage them. Lift them up. I go to a lot of, no, I'm not supposed to, I go to a lot of fast food places. You know, the people working there, none of them happy. They don't like it, but they just got a job. When they come and they just look, you know what I mean? I start pepping them up. I said, you know what? If you'll just be a good working young man or young girl, if you'll do your best around here, first thing you know, you'll own one of these. They just start perking up, and I talk about things about them, and where nobody else never thought about it, but it's good not only to your children, but others. Amen. I make it part of my business, Pastor, to talk to little kids come in and make them feel welcome and here at church. A lot of times, little kids don't pay much attention to them, but kids love to be noticed. Amen. And talk about that good about. Tell them that God is a good God. Teach boys how to treat the girls. Amen. That trains them how to treat the wife when they get married. Amen. When my girls were dating, several years ago now, when they were dating, I was preaching along and looked back there and I had one arm around one of my girls, you know, like that in church. I guess that's all right, but I just thought of this when he said, and then I said, listen, I want you to know, you ever dating my girls, if you don't treat them right, God will get you. And if God doesn't get you, I will. I never had any more problems. Noah got his family saved. You listening to me? King David, wonderful man as he was, didn't get all of his kids saved. Abraham didn't get all of his kids saved. Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, but Jesus, he didn't get his saved. Harold and Lou got all their saved. Glory to God. Say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got them all saved, all going to church, all doing something for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Parents, the most important thing you can do is to get your children saved. I could not want to leave this life realizing one of my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids didn't know Jesus but was going to hell. We got to realize that people that don't accept Jesus and get saved, they're not going to heaven. I don't care how good they are in other areas, but we need to be them in church, teach them about church, and get them in there and get God in their life. If your child strays, believe for them to return, and when they do, treat them like the father treated the prodigal son. Amen. He left home, kind of got into all the kind of trashy living, but he got enough of it. And he decided he's going to go back home, back at the father's house, is better than anything out in the world. Bringing kids to church and coming yourself is better than anything else you can go to. Hallelujah. Somebody say a big amen.
Amen.
Y'all amen a little bit now and then, and I won't preach too long. I won't preach till I wake you up. Hallelujah. Treat him. You know how the prodigal son treated him? He welcomed him in. Gave him a ring to put on his finger, identifying him as a member of that family. Had a big party, celebrated. My son's been out and living in the world, but he's back home. Got out and got on dope, doing these things. He's not doing that anymore. Thank God, he's coming home. He's coming home. If you have gone astray, you may not have failed. He just got off with the wrong crowd. They will come back. Amen. If you have brought them up in the church, it's something about the Holy Ghost. You just won't leave them alone. Amen. No matter what the world's doing to them, the Holy Ghost won't let them on. Treat them good when they come home. Yes. Hallelujah. One man left home. He had a fight with his dad and left, wasn't ever going to come back again. A few years later, he got so lonesome and wanted to come back home, he just didn't know hardly what to do. So he got on a train and was going to come back to that little town where he lived. And he had wrote a letter and he said, "Dad, Mom, when the train comes by, if you let me come back home, put a little handkerchief out there on that tree so I can know it's okay." When he came by on that train, looked out the window, there had a big white sheet covered the whole thing. I tell you, kids, when they're gone, that's when they need your help. You understand that? They're already pushed down. We've had this happen in our church and had all along, does all churches. There's time when a good young lady gets all mixed up and gets pregnant out of wedlock. What in the world are you going to do about it, Pastor? I tell you what I'm going to do and what I always done. I received them just like the prodigal son. If they ever need help, they need it now. They need it now. You understanding me? I had people leave my church because I treated them like that. And we had showers for them and all those things. Glory to God. I tell you, when you get anybody in church, treat them nice. Especially the backsliders when they come into the house of God. They come for help. They come for help. Fathers teach children to respect and obey their mother. Amen. Ephesians 6, 1-3. Children and youth and just any age, I could say, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live long. How many of them want to think, be well with you? Be well with you and live a long time. Well, it tells you right there, and it doesn't need to preach a whole sermon on it. It gives you right there in two or three verses. If you want to live long, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm skipping over some things. That's in our home. It's a peaceful home. It's that way because we made it peaceful. We declared that's the way it's going to be, home of peace. When our kids all left home, we had a back room there, and we called it the prophet's chamber, where preachers can come, spend the night, where they can eat some of the good food like my wife keeps. We got to get on good terms with the kids, with the preachers when you do that, you know. They say, "Oh, we just sleep so good, there's so peace in this house." Don't allow arguing, don't allow fussing in your house. Don't allow complaint. Especially don't let your children hear you fuss. I don't say cuss, but that would be too far. To fuss and argue. Amen. Amen? A soft voice eliminates strife. Amen. Not a lot of times what you say is how you say it. Amen. Parents speak pleasant words around the house. Parents show love towards each other. That's training them that when they marry, they'll have a peaceful house. I want what we had. I want it produced in our children. Our children watch what we do, how we talk, how we treat others, and they pick up our habits, good habits and bad habits. So watch your habits. My dad, just a kid, I remember this over and over again. At the eating table, we always had iced tea. And he'd be working hard all day, and you'd come in and be real thirsty. He'd always just shake that glass like that, and you'd little click, 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 make it colder in there. I catch myself doing that every once in a while. So if you catch the little things, you catch on to the bad things, big things, amen? Encourage your children. Brag on them. Tell them God has a plan for their life. Hallelujah. About 3 months ago, been 3 months since we've been to this place. I think it was Long John Silver's, somewhere like that. And that girl, we told her what we wanted. I wanted this, Lou wanted this and this. Went back last week and I told her what I want. She said, well, I remember what your wife wants. You know why? Because I bragged on her the first time. She remembered me when I came in the door. Hallelujah. It's all right to be nice to people, whether they're nice to you or not. Amen. Too many grouchy folks. Teach your children about the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Here's some words of wisdom. Your family is more important than anything on television. How well your children behave is more important than how cute they look. Give children the boundaries they need is more than giving them things they don't need. The time that you give your children is more important than the toys you bring home to them. The wisdom and good habits you leave your children is more important than any wealth you might leave them. Having a peaceful home is more important than having a prosperous business. Having a great marriage is more important than having a great job. How you impress your children is more important than how you impress anybody else. Pretty good, wasn't it? So get some of this, you know. It'll help you. Lou and I caused our children to get saved. Won't you listen to this? We caused it. We caused them to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. We caused them to get baptized in water. We caused them to love the church. We did it. We made it available to them. Hallelujah. From the time they were born, we had them in church regularly. Remember when the twins were born? Doctor said, now they're so little, don't take them out of the house for 6 weeks. Second week, they're in church. Hallelujah. You can be your own judge about that, you know, but didn't hurt them. Hallelujah. Get them in a place where they can hear the preaching of the gospel. They all got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost before they were 10 years old. That's four of them, main kids. We saw to it that church and serving God would be a way of life for them. We planned it. Their life involved around church activities all the way through, even through high school. They had one set of friends, real close friends, had church friends. Now, you're all right to have, I guess, two sets of friends, but it's better just have one good set of friends. That's right. Amen. You get around, you venture too far out, they're going to get a hold of some of the negative things. And the devil's out there, he's out there combating against it, fighting against it. Don't think all this come easy. You got to make up your mind, you see. They all got saved. Mark Barclay, he's a good preacher friend of mine. He's got a great ministry. And one of his main men came to him one time and he said, Pastor, I want you to tell me something. When my little boy was little, I brought him to church every Sunday. I'd done this for a while. I didn't bring him. I let him go to a soccer game, softball game. He'd go on Wednesday night. He'd go Sunday night. So we used to have Sunday night service, you know, a lot of time. And he said, now, I brought him to church all this period of time. Tell me why that he's gone on his own now. I can't get him to come to church. He said, well, you taught him it is more important to go to the ball game and play than it was to come to church. It's very important that we do the right thing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Choosing the most important things makes a happy, blessed, godly family. Choose making the right choices for them. Joshua said, listen to this one. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That needs to be part of our vocabulary.
Amen.
We need to get that down on the inside of us. We will serve the Lord. Amen. Make up your mind about serving God.
Yes.
And not change it. Make up your mind. This is where people miss it. They don't make up their mind concerning serving God. All these years, 68 years ago, Lou and I promised we were going to be faithful to the church. We haven't got up not one Sunday that I can remember, Sunday morning, and said, do we want to go to church this morning?
No.
We never discussed it no more. That we made it up our mind. That's what we're going to do. Now, there's time we went on vacation, and time like I'm talking about regular time. Didn't miss it. Why did we do that? We hadn't made up our mind, you see. We'd discuss it about every month. Make up your mind what you're going to do. Make up your mind whether you're going to serve the Lord or going to serve the devil. Don't stay on that barbed wire fence. It's sharp.
Yeah.
Get a lot of hurts. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Lou and I made up our mind in 68 years ago about this, what I was going to do. We made up our mind. We were going to tithe 10%. Now, at that time, I just joined the Air Force. I was getting $20 a month. $2 tithe. How much did I tithe? $2. Hallelujah. We made up our mind.
Amen.
Made up our mind. We have been living under the blessings of tithing for 68 long years. Glory to God.
Amen.
Under the blessings of God. That's what God says. He'll pour you out blessings. You'll not be able to receive. He's got more yet.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Make up your mind what you're going to do.
Amen.
Are you going to let your children run the house? Or are you going to run the house?
Amen.
With love.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Made up our minds and we never change it.
Amen.
The results of a godly home, you live on and on from generation to generation.
Amen.
All 28 of mine, this saved, a little kid, they're going to get saved. They don't have a big change, no choice. We done made up our mind about it.
Amen.
I would hate to come to the end of my journey and know that if it was just one of my family that wasn't going to make heaven. I want you to know, talk about a lot of things, but the most important thing in this life as parents is to see to it that we make our children available to get Jesus Christ and get born again.
Amen.
Bible says, if he be lifted up, Jesus be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto you. What does he mean? Let him be lifted up in you, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I feel a spell coming on.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. I tell you, some folks, I just scare them. You'll say, how you doing? I'm a happy man. Glory to God. I don't know what to do with it. Hallelujah. Make up your mind what you're going to do. Make up your mind. You're going to marry a Christian.
Yes.
Any of y'all not saved? All of you saved? Well, make up your mind.
Amen.
All kind of tricks comes along.
Sure.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I'm teaching y'all something I didn't have when I was there. Amen. Because one of these days, you're going to need this.
Yes. Amen.
And you can say, as you get older, well, I'm blessed. That don't mean we don't have no problem. That doesn't mean that we're living in a world like that. But I tell you, we got the joy of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I'm about through. They used to call me, and I hadn't had here lately, but maybe I don't guess I've lost it. They used to call me the joy preacher.
Yes.
Wherever I'd go, there's a joy preacher. I got to stir that up again, brother.
Woo-hoo,
glory.
Hallelujah.
Everybody lift your hand and say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for moving in my home. I thank you for the future. Glory to God. I thank you. I'm claiming all of my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, when they come along. I'm claiming them for the kingdom of God. I'm going to lift up Jesus before them. I'm going to do the thing God, the Bible, tells me to do. I'm going to have a peaceful life. I'm going to have a good life. My kids are going to have a good life because God has provided it for us. It's the will of God that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions prosper. Get your mind on the Word of God. Get your will turned toward what God willed for you to do. Get your emotions from tied up in the Word of God. Get your joy from the Word of God. Get your joy from worship and praising God. Learn how to do it. Learn how to do it. Teach your children now how to praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hey, glory to God. Take them up, brother. Oh, glory to God. And that's not new. He's learned that. He's learned that. Can I quit?
Whenever you're ready.
You got anything else to say? Praise the Lord. I did real good, didn't I? I got too quick.